Semis final weekend only means one thing, Brownie. It's sadly the third last installment of Richo, Brownie and Hummo. Got a massive show ahead. We find out why Brownie is a cricket oracle. We tackle the big issues of your tight-ass mates. And another edition of Storytime with Richo. That and much, much more on the Sportsbet AFL podcast. Ooh. Intro's back, Brandon. It's nice and crisp. You know, top. We've started, Brandon.
Oh, we are.
Oh, sorry. I thought you normally have a bit of a break after you do that.
We did have a break.
Big intro.
We did have a break. It's back.
Me and Matthew didn't get the break, did we?
He's sort of spasmodic with his intros, isn't he? Mm. One week he does an intro, the next week
he's
he doesn't.
He's sort of a bit spasmodic in life, one thing to the other.
I found out something this morning about our mate Richard here, Nathan, that I'd actually nearly knocked me off my chair when I walked in here.
What did you find out?
Richard went to Scotch College.
I did go to Scotch College. You know I went to Scotch.
No, I didn't know.
Really?
I knew you went to a nice school, but I didn't know you went to Scotch.
He just never struck me as a Scotch College boy.
No, well, I'm not. I'm a sort of a blue-collar, salt-of-the-earth type guy.
You wouldn't have fitted in there.
No, look, do you know what? I do portray a sort of bit of more of a country bumpkin sort of bogan. That has come since school as I tried to fit in. Well, you need to sort of make your own character in this game.
You've been like a chameleon since you left school.
Correct.
Have you?
Yeah, I was very well. Yeah,
so do you think your parents now, looking back, when they paid 30 grand a year for those 6 years, they got their 180 grand's worth?
My old man reminds me every single time I go around that he could have a much nicer house or a nicer car or a better beach house or something better if he hadn't spent 100. So three of my brothers went through Scotch. One of them is a carpenter, but he's doing very well for himself.
That's fine. Jesus was a carpenter.
There's me who never finished uni, and my youngest brother started law, dropped out, and now sells media.
But at least he started law.
Yeah, he did start law.
Yeah.
But dropped out. So out of probably $1 million bucks in school.
You never started law.
And you know what? Most of the tradies out there earn more money than all these professionals.
Yeah,
anyway.
Well, the tradie brother is doing the best out of all of us.
Exactly.
I wish I'd done a trade.
I'll tell you what I saw during the week, and I've been all over this Tasmanian football team.
Jeez, he'd want to get this right.
There was a tweet sent out of the Tasmanian Football League, the Tasmanian Devils, and guess who was front and centre?
No, it was
our boy. Matthew Richardson.
Yeah, what was it?
You're the main man of the Tasmanian Devils.
And when they bring this
I reckon it's great. You've put this
now,
state on the
clarify,
map.
Can I just clarify, this is not actually an official Tasmanian Devils. It's a site that someone has put together trying to encourage a Tasmanian team. Is that it?
No, the Tasmanian Football League have put out a tweet saying
the
try
actual
and get
league
on,
has.
Yeah, the actual oh, league oh, with a photo of you,
consult you about
in your Tasmanian top saying
them.
How many people can we get on board for the team, the Tasmanian Devils.
Right.
So they're sticking with the Devils. I wouldn't go on Tigers.
I like the Devils. Well, Richmond are the Tigers. So probably a bit hard to call them the Tigers. But one thing I did notice and took my fancy was another great Tasmanian retweeted this tweet on September 2.
Right.
So it came out on September 1.
It got a lot of retweets.
And September 2.
Yeah,
Brad Rawilla, who's a very, very fine jockey for the Weir Stable, does some really nice work, rode
some
really well last week.
Some dollars.
But on September 2, which was just one day after Odd backed him on Voodoo Lad, which came second. Now, Brad, I would be suggesting I would get off Twitter and I'd be worrying about your ride from the day before and maybe assessing that because the other horses start 100 metres ahead of you, Brad. 100 metres ahead before you decide to go, let's go. And 100 metres behind, still only lost by a bee's proverbial, Matthew. So, right. Brad Barilla, get your shit together.
I'm tipping. Old Nathan just might have had a few dollars.
I think you have ulterior motives. You're just a little bit annoyed.
Voodoo Lad was easily the best
horse
in the race.
Don't use this platform to get angry at jockeys because you lost some money on them, Branny. It's not what it's here for.
Well, I wouldn't have lost my money if he hadn't have started him halfway down Mount Alexander Road and the other ones are up the straight already.
Oh, he's angry, man.
He's not happy, is he?
He's not happy.
Anyway.
There should be a Tassie team, though.
There should be.
Yeah. Are they going to get – if there will be one eventually, is it going to be a – they're going to create a new license or will they take over one that's already in existence?
I think they'll take it over.
And I reckon that tweet that you're talking about, I think they got the idea off our little chat here a few months ago.
Oh, we do have listeners down in Tassie.
It's a good proposal. Yeah. Well done.
Hey, Hammy, you touched on it in your brilliant opener there before about the oracle, the cricket oracle, Nathan Brown.
I actually can't believe it because you wouldn't look at Nathan Brown and think that he's much of a cricket fan.
No, I love the cricket.
I didn't think you knew much about it. So
I've got to apologise to Nathan Hammer.
Oh, why?
Now, a few years ago, in fact, I've got a note in my phone.
Yep.
Okay. On the 15th of January 2011 at 8:16 p.m.
Over 7.5 years ago now.
Over 7.5 years ago, we were sitting at a bar in St Kilda, the Dalton Bar, which was a part of the Village Bell Hotel. We were sitting there. We'd been at the T20 International that day, me and Nathan. We were having a few beers on the way home. And Nathan looked at me and said, I'm telling you now, Richo, that Aaron Finch will play test cricket, right? Wow. Now, at that stage...
To extraordinary laughter.
Well, and deservingly so. Now, Finchie's not a test cricketer's arsehole.
Now, I'm not taking anything away from Finch. I don't know a lot about cricket, but at that time, he was a T20 international player, but I don't even think he'd established himself as a regular for Victoria in the Sheffield Shield in the four-day format. So for you to say he would play test cricket...
I saw something in him.
What did you see in him playing T20 cricket?
No, I just thought he'd slapped them around that day. He was very good. I thought his straight game was outstanding. I think 80% straight of his game. Runs came straight down the straight ground game. That day. To play test game. Cricket, you need to be able to play...
Straight
of the wicket.
So
you got straight of the wicket, you got square of the wicket, and you got behind the wicket.
I've never heard the term straight game before while used in cricket parlance.
Well, maybe it should be used a bit more.
So the other day, Hummer, to my sort of surprise,
very shock.
The test squad for the tour of the United, they play in Dubai, do they?
Yeah, in Dubai, yep, in the UAE.
Against Pakistan. Yep. Guess who's in the test squad?
Finchie.
Aaron Finch.
Aaron Finch is my name. Now, 7.5 years after you called it.
So he hasn't actually played yet, but I heard Justin Langer talking about the selection. And after hearing Langer talk, I think he will play in the first test. Nathan, I offer you a formal apology because I've tormented you with this note in my phone on the 15th of January every year since.
Every year on the 15th of January.
How do you remember to send it?
I've got a reminder on my phone.
Got an alarm on it. So and I send it 15th of January every year. Wow. Matthew Richie comes up.
You should have made a bet. Was there a bet?
I'm just making a disclaimer here. I'm not disrespecting Aaron Finch, but you were ahead of your time in that selection.
I was.
Oh, I tell you what, $1.90 on Pakistan is just money for old rope. But there's probably a more pressing issue. Now, that is one of the worst things you can do as a bloke is be a tight ass.
Oh, yeah.
It is absolutely horrific. But every group's got one.
They have. And this one surprised me. He's a man that both me and you know, Matthew, and Triple M Friday Night Football team, which is myself, Darcy, Damien Barrett, Chris Judd and Mark Howard. We went out in the weekend of the bye to celebrate. It was another good year.
Yeah.
We're in the finals at the moment. Our last ratings period was off the charts. We absolutely smashed them in the ratings, last ratings period.
Don't they love claiming their ratings, Triple M?
I cannot get, and especially Brownie as well.
Well, Friday night, it's Saturday,
they're
Saturday
a joke,
night,
the ratings.
And
they
Sunday,
are a joke.
Triple
they're,
M
do
were
you know
number
how they
one.
Still do radio ratings in this day and age?
They hand out about 15
tell
books.
Us, Richard.
They give about 15 books to old people who drive.
Tell us, Richard.
Well, that's how I'm telling you. That's how they do it. It's still with pen and paper.
But fortunately, on this book of ratings that only came out 2 weeks ago, Triple M were number one Friday night, Saturday night. And Sunday.
Get back to your story.
Ooh, okay.
Up against my show on Sunday.
Up against Matthew's
AW.
Wow. Tony Tardio. Anyway. So we've all gone out for dinner, up, and we went down to Paul DiMartino's pub in South Melbourne. Beautiful food down there.
Keep
if you've never been
the
there, get down there at his great food. I can't remember the name of the pub.
The Lamaro's.
Perfect pub. And so what'd my mate, Big Duke Darcy, he was there with his beautiful wife, Beck. And normally the bill comes at the end of the night and then everybody divvies it up. But for some reason, Darce had to get out, had to get home, go somewhere early. So him and Beck stood up. I thought probably about an hour too early. I thought, you know, we're still settling in here.
Just finished dessert.
The Duke has to get up early for breakfast radio.
Well, this was a Friday night, he was going into Saturday morning. So obviously didn't really have to get up for anything. But the Duke dialed out some money, obviously thinking that that was possibly enough. But when it came to it, and you divided the bill at the end of the night five ways into 1,400, 200 doesn't cut it.
No. That is well short.
And the Duke's a man that's done a lot of dining in his time. Mm.
Yeah, he would know.
I reckon you have an approximate idea of what the deal is.
Yeah, you're always. Steve,
and if you do, you always go more because you're the one leaving early.
You give way more. Yeah. You probably give it probably 25% more.
And he's going well, the Duke. He's got about four different jobs. He's got three different pubs. So he's not short of a dollar. I just think he's a tight ass.
Has he got form with this before? Because normally they do. It's rare that it's a once-off.
I must admit, it's probably the first time it's come across my desk with a Duke.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of tight asses in footy, though.
Oh,
why?
They're all cashed up. Asses. Extraordinary.
It's an environment that breeds people that can't spend money for football clubs.
Why? But
because they over the years, they tend to get everything
Who's
given
Who's someone
to
we play with that's really tight?
Probably Brett Tardy.
Oh, he's come up a few times. Oh, Lids.
He won't be happy. He won't be happy if he hears. Now, Lids is good to see him back.
So cough up the money, Duke.
That is bad. Hey, we saw one of the all-time meltdowns on the court this week. Disgusting. Oh, there's been enough said about it. We're not going to go into it. It was appalling. We should have been talking about the fantastic Japanese tennis player.
But our man over here has had a few meltdowns on field too.
And that's right. Now, have you ever had the same reaction to your meltdowns as Serena did?
I've had many a meltdown, and it stemmed from my early days back in Tasmania, boys. And
had a shocking temper. Still does, to be honest. He's mild-mannered, you know, Channel 7, get in there. Everybody loves Richo, but he has got an awesome temper.
Only when I'm playing in a competitive sporting environment, okay?
You used to get so angry it looked like you were crying.
No, I did. No, I copped that on the chin, Hummer. This was a school game. Do you want to go right back to the school game? Okay, we're playing.
Because we got told a couple of weeks ago you gave the finger to Peter Knight.
So I won't go back over that one. But this was a school game on a Saturday morning for St Brendan Shaw College against La Trobe High School at Byard Park in Devonport. For any of our Tassie listeners, they'll know where that is. And I was having a pretty good day. I was playing off half back. We had a pretty average school team, so we had to stack our back line a little bit with the two or three good players that we did have. Ben Harrison was one of them, who played AFL footy as well.
Massive nose.
Yeah, big nose, Harry. Now, this particular day at half back, I was having a field day. half back is the easiest position in the world to play.
It is.
I wasn't paying any attention to my man. And I reckon halfway through the first quarter, I would not be exaggerating if I said I'd had 20 possessions, right, off halfback. I was having a day out. Now, my dad had the Volvo parked watching on the boundary line. He didn't watch every game, Dad. He normally worked on a Saturday morning, but here he was. So I was proud as punch, racking them up in front of the bull. And anyway, there was an incident where I gave away a free kick in the back pocket. I didn't agree with the decision. And I gave the umpire a little spray. Yep. He gave me a 50-metre penalty. Mm-hmm. I then gave him another little spray, which resulted in another 50-metre penalty. And on this small ground in school footy, that put the guy who was having the free kick within range of goals. He went back, kicked the goal. The runner came out. Our coach, Mr. Fracalossi, said, come off the ground, Matthew.
What did Mr. Fracalossi teach?
Maths and science. So
he sounds like a maths and science teacher, doesn't he?
So I reluctantly came off after, you know, giving the runner a fair spray as well. And I got to the boundary line. The first thing I said to Mr. Fracalossi was, if you don't put me back on the ground immediately, I'm done for the day.
Immediately.
Mr. Fracalossi said, well, Matthew, you're not going back on. You're going to sit out the rest of this quarter.
The frack.
The frack.
He's, he's laid down the levy.
Being the best player in the team, I thought, that's not good enough, Mr. Fracalossi. So I stuck to my word. I went into the sheds, got my bag, took my boots off, and walked around the boundary line to the car where my old man was sitting. My old man, if you're talking about the spray I just gave the umpire, my old man gave me a spray that he's never given me before in his life. And he actually said, you're not going back. That's fair enough. You're not going back on. You're a disgrace. Oh. You learn something from this. And I didn't go back on. My old man wouldn't let me go back on. He made me sit out the rest of the game. And that's probably the most childish thing I've ever done on the football field.
No, that's great.
The old frack. Hey, let's dive straight into the first game, into the serious stuff.
Can I pause this? I do need to talk about something off air.
Yep. Is that recording again?
Yep. Yep, we're back.
That's the first time we've ever stopped a podcast. All right, let's dive into the serious stuff. The reason we're here, semi-finals kick off tomorrow night, which is Friday. Hawthorne, $2.75. Melbourne, $1.46. Brownie, almost to the dime. Even money taken on both sides. Now, this always happens with semi-finals, isn't it? Because you've got one side that had to win a game to get through, and you've got one side that lost. You always find that there's more favour around the side that won to get through. But is it going to be too much for Melbourne, or do you reckon they should do it pretty easily? Hawthorn looked awful.
Melbourne are too short for a start. Hawthorn didn't look that awful. I thought they played pretty good footy in the first half.
Pressure was good early. Yeah,
pressure was really good. And halfway through the third quarter, let's be honest, they're still only 17 points behind. And Luke Bruce missed a goal, and Burgoyne missed a goal, which puts scoreboard pressure on Richmond. No one were going to beat Richmond that night there.
No.
They were too good. No, but Hawthorn were very good for a half a footy. Now, they've beaten Melbourne earlier on in the year. I don't know how much you read into that, but they have beaten them well.
I did that game, and I think it was after quarter time It was 17 goals to one.
Yeah. And it got wet. That's when the rain came. So the Hawks played the rain better. But I just think Melbourne in a final are too short at $1.46. Hawthorn looked the value at $2.75. I think Hawthorn can win. I'm not prepared.
Tell me why they can win.
I just think their pressure last week was outstanding on Richmond. Richmond are just so good at using the footy. They got yardage, Richmond.
It was a territory game.
It was a territory game. Yeah. And last week, if you had tallied up Richmond's handballs, they would have been ranked 18th in the competition over the course of the year for the handballs just last week. Mm-hmm. Now, they kicked more last week, got more yardage. Hawthorn did it the other way. Different kettle of fish when you play Melbourne. Geelong put zero pressure on Melbourne's ball carriers, zero. So Melbourne in a final were able to just pick their way through it. So I think Hawthorn's pressure will be a little bit better than Geelong's. And I still think Hawthorn are a very good kicking side. Geelong wasted opportunities. I think this is going to be a really close game. It's going to be decided by less than 15 points either way. So that's the bet I like in this game. Less than 15 points by either team. Hawthorn 275 outsiders. I just think it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, it'll be closer than what people think. Look, I think you have to tip Melbourne if you're just going head-to-head, and that's what I would do. But Richmond just didn't allow Hawthorn to get any control of the ball. If it's a bit of a drier night, it was a bit slippery and wet early in that game against Richmond. Hawthorn couldn't get control. If they get control with their foot skills, you know, they're a chance to stretch Melbourne. What people are forgetting in that game against Geelong, Melbourne only kicked one goal in two quarters.
Mm.
They didn't blow the Cats away. They should have. If they give Hawthorn a chance to stay in the game, as you said, Nathan, Geelong didn't put any pressure on. The Hawks will. Big out Stratton, though, down back. He holds that defence together. He actually saved them a few times in that third quarter when he was one-on-one on Josh Caddy. But look,
aren't out yet, but you'd imagine Schoenmakers get a role to play it, maybe in defensive end. They're going to have to come in with a big player.
Yeah, well, they'll bring someone in. Would they bring Mirror back? I mean, I know he's experienced.
Best off of Box Hill last week, Mirror.
Was he?
Yep.
So, yeah. He'd be the other one that they would consider. I'm tipping Melbourne, but you never know. You never know. The Hawks are a team that wouldn't surprise if they bounce back.
Either team to win by less than 15 points is $2.70. If you're going to have a look at the disposal markets, I can't see Clayton Oliver not getting 30 possessions. He gets it every week. $1.80. So if you were going to have some multis, I'd be throwing Clayton Oliver $1.80
same game
to get
those?
30 or more disposals. Yes, you can with Sportsbet.
How good is that? Second game, GWS versus Collingwood. Now, GWS being backed off the map. 75% of the cash brownie has been on the Giants. Collingwood, though, will be favourites. $1.60.
Well, this market hasn't moved since we opened the markets last Sunday. So Collingwood were $1.60 then, GWS. So
what does that mean?
Well,
I've never understood this, even though working for
the money. Okay.
We've taken a lot more money on GWS, so why wouldn't those odds changed?
So the job of the bookie, and in particular the AFL trader who works here, would be he's got a decision to make. Who do I think is going to win?
So it all rests on one guy.
And he's very good at his job, Cam Dean. So what happens is he'll think Collingwood, obviously thinks Collingwood are going to win. So GWS money continues to come in. He's happy to take that money at that price. And his job is to try and get that right.
It's a lot of responsibility on one man. He gets
it. There's a lot of money on finals too.
If GWS win, we as a company will lose a lot of cash.
That is.
Is he judged on how much money the company makes? I guess he would be.
Mm. Well, most people are, yes. Yeah.
Hey, this
like
is
anybody,
like,
they work on a formula. I think they work to a percentage and they have to hit. It's like any sort of budget in any organisation.
Mm. So who wins the game then? Who are you tipping?
Well,
tough.
It is. Like, this is. I've been up and down on this one for the last few days.
Matthew, and you know when you've played a game and you haven't played for a while, they've had three inclusions, Toby Green, Brett Deledio, and also Zach Williams, who all played pretty well.
They all played well.
Really well.
Toby Green is one of the best players in the
Toby Green
second up,
is an elite player.
It's a lot harder to feel that freshness second up. Now, Deledio was okay. Toby Green was fantastic, outstanding. So was Williams. To do that fresh again second up is really hard. And again, I like the fact that either team under 15 points here could be the play. Look, I just think GWS's run and carry is going to hurt them. I think Treloar looked okay, but he wasn't.
He's second up too, don't forget.
He wasn't the Adam Treloar you probably wanted to play. I didn't think. I think Jordan DeGoey got into some bad habits trying to get behind the footy again. I'm just about going to tip GWS. They've got a 9.5-point head start. I don't mind that.
Yeah, I hear your point. Look, at the MCG, you would think that Collingwood will have 80,000 supporters there.
Yep.
They will turn up. It will be a bit like the Richmond GWS prelim last year. The last time the Giants played on the MCG, they were as bad as what I've seen them all year against Melbourne in that final round. They were very, very ordinary on the MCG. As you said, those players back on the bigger deck on the MCG, the home crowd, and I thought Collingwood were very good over in Perth. At three-quarter time, they were 10 points up.
Yep.
And I thought they were home for all money.
So did I.
West Coast lifted around the footy. Sam Mitchell gave his mids a spray and they started winning some contested ball, and Darling and Kennedy came into the fray. I think on the MCG, I think with all that support, I just think Collingwood have defied expectations all year.
Yep.
And I think they might do it again.
So I like Collingwood. Obviously, as Richo does, $1.60, it's a little bit short for me in that game. So I'm just going to take that extra buffer and take GWS 9.5, which is $1.92. So if you don't understand what that means, Collingwood can win, but they can't win by more than 9.5, and GWS can win. So that's how that works.
Hey, Kamar, I just want to clear something up too from that game in Perth last week. Now, after the game, I shouldn't have done this and I should know better, and you probably would have been all over it, Nathan. You seem to monitor Twitter. You don't seem to get involved in many things, but you monitor it and just see.
I don't do a lot of Twitter action.
But you monitor what other people are doing.
I'm a great monitor.
You get a lot of
just a real really good, just lurks.
Really good hall
lurking
monitor
around,
school.
Not contributing anything, just lurking.
Happy to lag people in.
Yeah. So after the game in Perth last week, we did the aftermatch, and sitting in the car going back to the hotel, pretty tired, ready to jump into bed, I had a look at Twitter, and the feedback wasn't very good for the commentary team, the Channel 7 team, James Brayshaw and the big Duke, the tight ass Duke, and myself. Basically, people in Western Australia, and there were a lot of them, thought that we were biased towards Collingwood and Victoria.
Oh.
Mm. Now, I don't see that. In the first quarter, we pumped up West Coast and how good McGovern was playing. The next two quarters, Collingwood were clearly the better team. And then in the last quarter, West Coast, the key forwards got punched. You just tend to call it how it's going throughout the game, okay? Now the bias,
what have you done?
Well, a lot of people – no, I'm just letting these people, if anyone is listening in Perth, I'm just straightening this out. Why would I be biased towards the West Coast Eagles, right?
Because one of your best mates works there.
Exactly. Am I Victorian?
Nope.
Why would I be biased towards Collingwood? Because I'm not Victorian. I played for Richmond. Richmond didn't like Collingwood, neighbouring suburbs. Just ridiculous comment. You're not biased as a caller. You call it how you're seeing it throughout the game. I don't care who wins out of Collingwood and West Coast, to be honest with you. So if you were one of those people that tweeted me, I've had enough.
That leads me to how do you go? We've sort of touched on this before, but it gets to you. When you fire up Twitter and you see, it gets to you, doesn't it?
It does. So it got to me. I went to bed pretty flat in Perth on Saturday night. So I'm just letting anyone out there, I'm not biased as a caller. I couldn't care less who wins out of Collingwood and West Coast. Just calling it how I saw it.
He's nasty on Twitter, though. There's no goodness that comes out of it.
Well, and obviously on a far, far, far smaller scale than any of you.
Far, far.
I've had some bad tips on my.
Throw a few more fars.
Not even on the scale.
I've been doing my
He's
tips.
He's going to compare himself to our Twitter
feed.
No,
please. I didn't. I just said that I have been doing some tips on SEN this week.
Right.
And they haven't been going too well, and I've been copping it.
All right.
But I don't mind it because it just makes me feel a little bit
important. Well, see, you know what? If you don't get into Hummer if you're an SEN listener either. People are just nasty.
They are nasty. I'll tell you what is funny. I mentioned one of our great mates, Warren Coford, who's a fitness coach at West Coast Eagles. And it was this time a couple of years ago, finals time, that he was out on the ground in the warm-up And David Teague.
At the MCG.
At the MCG.
No, it was Nick Natanui, wasn't it?
I thought David Teague kicked the barrel.
Oh, that's right.
David Teague, who's the assistant coach, has kicked the barrel back towards the boundary or near the group or something like that. And our mate Warren Coford, who, when in terms of people who are happy with themselves, now this man has got me covered and 50%.
No. He
has got.
They couldn't. It's impossible. Person.
Julian Valance here, he's got him covered as well. Wow. Any man you think of that rates themselves, Warren Coford's got them covered.
It was one of those, is he a good-looking rooster?
It was one of those.
He's not bad, yeah.
It was one of those low-flying torps that was going at great velocity. Yeah.
And it's hit him in the head, flat out, right? Which is funny enough in itself because there's vision of it. But what happened after that was he's fallen to the ground and he's actually tripped on a football, which was underneath him, and broken his ankle just before the game.
It's not funny, really. Oh, it is funny.
It is funny.
I wish there was footage of it.
Oh. Hey, I tell you what, just on the back of this game, is there any doubt that the networks don't have complete control over the fixture come finals time? Given what's going to be happening in prelim.
No,
week.
I think so.
The networks have got
enough.
A bit
They've
more.
Been stitched up during the season.
The network wants
big time.
The network wants Richmond on Friday night.
They'll have more trainers. Say next year, though, the networks.
I would dare say Channel 7 have complete control over which game gets played.
I wouldn't say complete control.
AFL doesn't
it
give
makes
anyone
no
complete
sense
control.
For them to. The only way it makes sense is if you want the bigger TV audiences. The way that
there's
the
no
prelims
doubt they want Richmond on the Friday night in the first week of finals. But let's be honest, Richmond deserve. They have the longer break. They finished on top.
Yep. Hey, we didn't have Mad Monday for Geelong. We had Wacky Wednesday. And even in spite of the clip you gave him last week.
He's gone again.
I don't know what to do about him.
I'm going to have to do something this week and publicly shame Kane Corns because I love the fact that Geelong had a crack and they dressed up Mad Monday. Those outfits with Joel Selwood as Prince Harry was outstanding.
Yep.
It's just funny. It's lighthearted. It's good fun. And Kane Corns' main argument was they weren't thinking about their final leading up. They're thinking about their outfits. Has he ever heard of a costume shop? You can go to a costume shop on a Monday and go in and get a costume. You can do it on a Tuesday as well. Kane. Give it a rest, mate.
And these are professional AFL footballers who put everything on the line. Do you think that they are honestly, during a game of footy, are thinking about their costume at any stage?
If Kane thinks that, and I know Kane's brought this up before, and I know you work with him, and Kane likes to be provocative. It's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It is seriously ridiculous. Even if they did think about it a few weeks before and they started preparing – if you're not at training and you've got a few hours to kill, why not go and get it prepared? It doesn't mean
AFL players can do two things at once.
It doesn't mean that when you run out on the Saturday afternoon, all you're thinking about is your costume. It is absolutely an outrageous suggestion.
He says it every year, though, Cornsy.
He says it every year.
I don't know why he's going down this path, Kane Corns. He's talented enough to not have to worry about
he
always
doesn't
doing
even,
this.
He doesn't even believe what he's saying.
No, he's spot on.
He's just trying to stir people up.
He loves it. He wants to be a shock jock.
Yeah, that's right. He's trying to be the next Kyle Sandilands. Hey, before we go, we've got one of our favourite part of the podcast, Brownie.
This is the best part.
This is the best part. This is the one that everyone on Twitter asks for. Yes, it is. This is the one that everyone wants. Like, they love it. They love story time from you, Richo.
Yes.
Have you got a good one for us?
I've got one that's come across my desk from the Richmond Footy Club a little bit earlier this year, but I don't know if our listeners would have heard it. But it involves Camden McIntosh, who played a great game.
Three goals, didn't he?
Yeah, played a really good game. Now, Camden's a man who's probably one of those people who loves the outdoors. He doesn't overcomplicate things.
Looks like a hillbilly.
No, he doesn't. He's a great bloke.
He's a country boy, though, isn't he?
He doesn't overcomplicate things.
If you have a name spelt like that as well, Camden spelt that way, I'm tipping you haven't grown up in a metropolitan area.
He's from Pinjarra in just below Perth. He's from near Mandurah, where Brian Taylor's from.
They have races at Pinjarra.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, this was earlier this year. Richmond were playing over in Adelaide. You get over there the day before the game, Brownie. Richmond are having a little captain's run on the Adelaide Oval. Richmond fans there watching. Beautiful afternoon. Yep. And Camden runs out onto the ground before training. And a couple of the boys, Sean Grigg and Jack Revolt, notice that his boots they looked a little bit too big for him. They looked like he had Ronald McDonald's shoes on, right? And they were bright red Pumas. And one of the boys went over and said, Camden, you got some new boots on there. And Camden went, yeah, geez, I've been trying to get these boots for ages. He's ringing Puma. Puma didn't have them in stock. So he got online. got on to eBay or one of those.
Well, bought them himself off his own dime.
Found them online, bought them off his own dime, you know, didn't rely on the sponsor to give them to him for nothing. The only problem was they were the exact boots he wanted, but they were a couple of sizes too big. But this didn't deter Camden. He still bought them anyway. And he's gone to Adelaide with his brand new wheels, couldn't wait to play in the wheels, out on the training run, and they just look ridiculous. The boys reckon his feet were moving around.
How big are we talking? Like, what, he's got like a size?
A couple of sizes too big. All right. So you can imagine they look pretty funny. So after training, they're back in the sheds. You know, the boys are all sitting around as you do, icing up, stretching, doing whatever you're doing. And Jack and Griggy were sitting together again, and they called out to Camden, mate, what are you – surely you're not playing in those boots. You bought some other boots over. Nah, Camden had only bought these brand-new boots. So the boys cottoned on, and they thought, oh, we'll have a bit of a joke. This is pretty good by Jack and Griggy. They said, we'll get him here. We'll have a bit of a joke with him, knowing that Camden doesn't overthink things. So they've said, listen, Camden, if you're going to wear those boots, you're going to need – your feet are going to have to be a bit bigger. Why don't you go and see the doc? And Camden's like, what do you mean?
No.
And Jack goes, go and see Doc Hickey and get some foot fertiliser off him.
Oh, my God. Don't tell me.
And Camden went, what's foot fertiliser? And they said, it's just a powder. You put it in some water and you just sit your feet in it. And it just swells your feet up. And your boots will fit you tomorrow. You know, it doesn't permanently make your feet larger, but it just gives them a bit more.
And he bought it.
So Camden went, oh, yeah, that sounds good. So at this point, Griggy had ducked off and worded up the Doc Hickey, who's got a good sense of humour, Doc Hickey. He said, Camden's going to come and see you. So it wasn't foot fertiliser. So sure enough, Camden's wandered into the doc's room and the doc's given him some protein powder or something that he had in there. Next thing, they look out in the rooms and there's Camden sitting over in the corner with his feet in a big bucket of water with the foot fertiliser in there. 100% true.
Oh, my 100% God.
100% true. So Capsy thought his feet were going to grow.
That's pretty good. Funny. I can't tell you what. I cannot believe that.
That's true.
That's true. I'm not that surprised. I've heard a few interviews. Just good country lad. Like the two. Are you country?
Yeah, Tassie boy.
Three country boys all in one room.
And one country boy that went to Scotch College.
No,
yes. I was a boarder. No, I wasn't actually. I grew up in Surrey. But we are done. Thank you very much. Of course, it is a very hard week to tip. There's some money to be made. But if you are going to have a punt on the footy this weekend, please do so responsibly.